I'm gonna start going up to people going, ah.
Yeah, just walk up behind people and go, ah. You're basically taking the Link from Legend of Zelda approach to greeting people. It's just random shouts and murmurs. That's all it is.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
So for this week's episode, we have a special guest for Campaign Stories. We have
Campaign Stories.
It's been a minute.
So fun. It has been a minute.
It has.
I'm really
yes.
glad we have another one.
I know, me too.
I've missed
excited.
Them.
Me too. So this week we have Gigi, also known as Glamour Bomb Gaming. How are you?
Hello, my treasures. It's nice to see you all. And by see you all, I mean talk to you all, because obviously I can't see you.
Well, you can see us.
I can see you guys, but anyone else, I'm just going to let my imagination take me places.
There you go.
It's perfect. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
It's the whole point. It's everything that we do, guys. It's great.
Yes.
It's what we're here for.
It really is. So... Campaign Stories.
Indeed.
Jumping in, why don't you tell us about the system that you are playing in, the setting that you're running around in, and the character that you're running around with?
So currently, I'm actually DMing a campaign. I would be happy to tell you about the character from my most recent campaign. But the campaign that I'm currently running and the campaign that I was most recently in are both homebrews, and they're Dungeons & Dragons specifically.
Awesome. Are you playing in 5th edition?
Yeah, which system?
Yeah, 5th edition, Dungeons & Dragons. I originally started playing Dungeons & Dragons back in college, and that was 3.5 Dungeons & Dragons, and then just kind of progressed from there.
Nice. Cool.
A lot of people started in 3.5.
Yeah.
At least a lot of the people we talked to, that was like the gateway D&D, it seems like.
I think it makes sense, because I think for a lot of people that got into it, at least around the time frame that I did, it was what was available most readily. So a lot of the other, like the older editions, you had to kind of go digging for in order to find, unless you'd been playing those from the get-go and had access to those already.
Makes sense.
It does. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I technically played one game, 3.5. That was it. And then jumped right into 5e. So.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah. It works out pretty beautifully.
It does. So you're playing in a homebrew world.
Yes.
Is this the same homebrew for both of these?
No, so the homebrew that I'm currently DMing is one that I've created, and we're kind of piecing it together as we go. I have a general idea. I actually just recently figured out what I want the BBEG for that campaign to be. So now I can kind of fill in the rest of the world around that, now that I know where I want it to go and how I want it to progress from there. But the campaign that I played in the most recently was also a homebrew, but a completely different setting. It was a different world entirely. So the two have nothing to do with one another, aside from the fact that I was involved in both. So, but for the campaign that I was in, well, you hadn't really asked me about what I played or whatnot yet. I don't remember.
Let's hear it. I'm curious.
Yeah.
The character that I played most recently that I have the fondest memories of and the best stories of is Valentine Marlowe, who is my half-elf bard.
Yes, bards. Bards are the best.
Bards are the best and really don't get the credit that I think they deserve.
Not even near.
No, not even.
Now, like so many people just assume that we're there to kind of, I mean, and we are there to be the entertainment, like the comic relief
intense situations, but you know, we can wield some spells when we want to, and we can throw some, you know, punches if we need to, depending on how you decide to play it and if you multi-class and whatnot. And I find them to be how do I put this? I find that with a lot of different classes, that a lot of people have a very specific way to play them based on their preconceived notions of them. Whereas bards, I feel like you can just go anywhere with them. And that's not to say you can't do that with other classes and whatnot. It just feels like that's one of the classes where it's just like, hey, here's this thing, go with it where you want to. So I like that freedom with them. There's a friend of mine who actually plays in a campaign up in New York City who has an interpretive dance bard. And I'm just like, that's amazing.
What? Oh my gosh.
Like, that's one of those things where you're like, I don't want to play in this game. I would just like to sit in and watch a session mm-hmm. where you, and see how you do whatever it is that you do with that.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
I really want to know if this is like actual interpretive dance or just verbally explained interpretive dance.
Oh God, I hope it's actual.
I really do too.
Like that they have to get up and like do the floss dance or something like that as a way of, you know, bardic inspiration. And if they don't, then nothing happens. You can't describe it. You've got to get involved that way. That's what I hope for.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. Think about that and just be happy with the world. Like with all the other shit going on in the world, thinking about that makes me happy every once in a while. Just being like, well, at least there's the interpretive dance bar. That person's probably doing okay.
What was your favorite part of your bard?
My favorite part of my bard was that she had a weapon that doubled as her instrument, or her instrument that doubled as her weapon. So she had a violin that could turn into a crossbow.
Nice.
That's super cool.
Because I wanted her to be able to just like be playing in the middle of battle and then at a moment's notice be like, something's over there, switch it into a crossbow and then shoot them with an arrow while she has the opportunity, just because I thought that sounded really badass.
Yeah. It does.
It does. It sounds completely reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all made up in fantasy. So, you know what? Why? As long as you're not completely ruining the mechanics of the game, and especially if it's a homebrew game, why not? Why not try those options out and see how they fit? And it worked out pretty beautifully. So, yeah.
So with your bard, did you actually play things out for the bardic inspiration, or did you just narrate them?
Oh, no. I definitely, if any of you are familiar with Critical Role, which is actually a lot of the inspiration for a lot of the stuff that I do, Sam Riegel played a bard in their first campaign, and that was actually the inspiration for how I played my bard, which was very much so a lot of song parodies, you know, I think there may have been one time when I couldn't think of something to use for our barbarian for bardic inspiration. So I just shouted his name. And when his character looked at me, I just did a body roll, both in character and out of character, just like body rolled for a good 30 seconds. And then shot him finger guns. And I was like, there you go. You feel inspired? You feeling good? No? And then we run away.
That's great.
But I always made a point to like act it out in if I was doing like a dance or something like that, I always made sure to do it in character and in real life. And then if I, you know, did an actual song parody, I'd literally just sang maybe like less than 10 seconds of it, but I would actually sing it while I was there, because that was another reason that I wanted to play a bard, was because I wanted to have her prowess be in singing as a means of storytelling. And because I can actually sing, I was like, cool, this will be my opportunity to kind of do that and share that with my friends. This was also on a D&D game that was being streamed. So it was me also wanting to, you know, reap in the attention for being that entertainment element in that regard. So totally. That was why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Your bard sounds great.
Oh my God, I miss her every day. Unfortunately, like the campaign ended up getting cut like super short. Like we probably made it to level 5 or 6, I think it was. And then everything just kind of disbanded. And every day that I, you know, talk to people about D&D or, you know, tabletop gaming in general, and, you know, I get asked about characters that I've played before or who I would want to play if I was invited onto like a guest game. And I'm like, I'd probably play Valentine again because I really miss her and I didn't get to act. She had so much attention to detail that I gave her for like her backstory and everything else. And it never got to be fully fleshed out. So I really want to have the opportunity to play her again if I have the chance, so that I can maybe see about getting to that storyline. But I also don't want her shoehorned in anywhere. Like she has to start from like round zero with a group and then work her way through. She can't just be like, hey, some random bard that you like randomly encounter. Like she's got to build her way up again.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I get that. I think all of us have had a character or two kind of like that, that we put that effort and pizzazz into, and you know, groups fizzle mm-hmm. out. It happens. It's unfortunate, but it happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what about your homebrew world? Tell us about that.
Oh my God. So what do you want to know? Cause there's, I can answer depending on what exactly you ask.
Why don't you tell us about the mission that your group is currently on?
So currently my group has, so they started with two, you know, I'll throw this out there in case anyone wants to use it for their campaign, because I happen to like this as the opening. But we started out the campaign with two of the characters being handcuffed together and not knowing why, like woke up and were just shackled together and having to try and refigure out like what happened that led to that point and all that other stuff. And so they basically woken up and all gathered into this town, and an attack happens on a town by a small group of kobolds. And currently they are meeting with the town's council of elders, one, to try and explain what happened from their perspective of the attack, because a lot of people in the town, since they're strangers, assume that maybe they had something to do with it, because this town normally doesn't really suffer from a lot of attacks. And it seems very coincidental that on the night that these strangers have kind of like arrived in their town, not terribly long after, that the town gets attacked. And they're about to go into another plot point very soon, which I don't know if I necessarily want to talk about too much in the off chance that they hear about it. But basically they have to go. They're going to be going to look for someone who is believed to have been kidnapped, but won't actually be.
Dum, dum, dum.
What a twist.
Dramatic reverb.
So how many players are in your campaign?
We currently have 4. We were originally supposed to have 5, but unfortunately our 5th player is up in New York City and it currently works in the military. So their schedule is kind of hectic as to when they have availability. Mm-hmm. But currently we have 4 players. And you know what? I'm kind of okay with that, because as a fledgling DM, the less house cats I have to try and herd, the better.
Yeah, I agree. I think 4 is like my sweet spot. It's good. It's good.
What's your party makeup?
So we have a wizard who is a human who's got this wonderful German accent and is just hysterical. It's very Hans, Franz, we're here to pump you up, but a little bit more flamboyant. It's that. So we have an elven bard. We have a half-elf cleric. We have the human wizard, and then we have a half-orc paladin.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
Yes, indeed. And what I love is that there are 2 men and 2 women that are the players, but there are 3 women and 1 dude as the characters. And I'm very excited to see how that's going to play out. And I appreciate the representation and everything. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited that people don't feel like they have, I mean, it's 2019, so I don't know why I would assume that people would be this way, but it's really comforting to see
people come to the table and be totally cool with just playing like something completely different from how they possibly identify in their lives outside of, you know, the game on the table. I love that sort of stuff. I want to see it happen more often. One can only hope.
I mean, that's the beauty of things like D&D and the other tabletop systems is you can come in and do whatever you want and be whoever you want to be, whether it's who you are or someone that you're not, and you just kind of want to see what it's like. It's it just all offers that freedom. It's great.
Well, I think, and going off what you were saying with that, like, you either get to be the, you know, it's you or it's the polar opposite of you. I remember telling people when they would ask like what Valentine was like, that it's just my personality, but amped up to 11. So it's someone who it's just someone who walks into the room already thinking that everyone wants to be their friend and doesn't question it and doesn't have all these insecurities that I have when I walk into a room full of people sort of stuff. So yeah, you really get to, you can do anything. You can allow any part of your personality to come out, and you can, there's so many different options for different races and classes and different combinations of those things that you might surprise yourself with what you find when you play those certain characters. So that's the sort of development that I love to see too. So yeah, I love it. I love it so much.
It's good. It's just so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know for me personally, I've been able to explore a lot of different facets of my life and been able to kind of play out scenarios that, I mean, may not have happened. And I feel like it's D&D as a whole has kind of helped me with that, just the whole entering a room thing, because that used to be really hard and now it's not as hard, but yeah.
Well, yeah. And especially because you're spending however many hours around a table, you know, interacting with people and talking with people, you get better at being able to develop these kind of social skills and communication. So that part's really great. Unless you're like me, where you already sucked at math, and then it sucks even more when you have people staring at you asking what what damage do you deal? And you're like, I don't even know what dice I need to be like right now.
That's a lot of D6s, guys. Hold on.
It's a lot. Well, that's the thing. And I have to explain this to people a lot. And I know a couple of other people, well, really only one person that I know, but I'm sure there are other people out there, that I'm way more of the creative aspect of D&D. I like, you know, the storytelling aspect. I like writing for it. I like thinking up character concepts and all that other stuff. I am absolute garbage when it comes to the mechanics of it. Like, as a DM, I'm getting slowly better at it. As a player, I still find myself being like, wait, hold on. Which, again, when I was on a streaming game, that was a real treat for everyone at home, I'm sure. How do I math?
That could be really rough. It could be really rough. Yeah, especially when like you level up and you get new spells, and then there's like all these different facets of the spell, and it's like, if this happens, then this happens. And
like, well, yeah, and then you have those moments of panic where you know your DM will ask you, okay, well, what kind of damage does that wield, or you know, what kind of saving throw does it have to make? And you're just like, how do I read words again? What is this?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. What is it? Oh, I don't.
What is my spell save DC? I don't know.
It's written in a giant block on my paper, literally in the boldest print that I can possibly find. Still don't know where it is. Still don't know what it is.
Where it is. Nope. I've been playing the same character for 4 years. I have no idea what it is. I don't know.
Nobody know.
Oh.
I mean, it changed at one point, true. Right? It's different now, so.
Right. Yeah. You know.
I can't remember that. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's too much.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast a week ago. You can't expect me to remember that, especially with our current homebrew campaign. We play once a month. So like, ooh. Yeah. Mm. And it's one of those situations where I have to remember details. And like, I think after our first game, I had to send everyone a recap. And I was like, I don't remember which one of you
killed this person. Oh man. But I don't want to reach out to people and be like, hey, I know that I'm the one that's supposed to be running things and in charge, but does anyone else remember who made that final kill? Because I have the memory of a goldfish and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I make my players do it. Mike, now you tell us what happened last game.
Yeah, we make Kate do it because
we do.
She remembers things and the rest of us don't.
No, because she takes notes and the rest of us don't.
Like I said, she remembers things and the rest of us don't.
Yep.
Yep.
Notes are important, kids. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
They really are. They really are. So why don't you tell us about your favorite moment that have that has happened so far in the game that you are currently running?
Oh, man. Well, I think it was actually our last session, and one of the NPCs in our game is a stable hand by the name of Calvin, who, you know, sounds like a stereotypical, like real Cockney, you know, bruv kind of accented guy. And our half-orc paladin takes things, is almost Amelia Bedelia-esque in the sense of taking things just a little too literally at times, or like not fully comprehending. She's very sheltered and very naive. So therefore her understanding of the world outside of what she's known from being raised on a farm is very limited. So they were talking about different ways to greet one another when they were in the inn. And she decided to go outside and practice these different ways to greet one another with the stable hand. And he had walked in, and one of our characters is, she's basically I don't even know how you describe it, but she's basically someone who died and was brought back by our equivalent of the Raven Queen, which is the Ariadne. And so she looks very pale, very close to death. And so Calvin comes into the inn at one point when they're all gathered around the table, looks at her and basically goes, ah, and then just keeps walking. And our half-orc paladin assumed that that was a type of greeting in their town that she had not known about. So when she goes back outside to see him, she goes up behind him and goes, ah, and he freaks out. And then they have another like 30 minute discussion of him in his Cockney accent trying to explain to her why you don't go up behind people and shout at them and scare the shit out of them, especially when you look like she does. And then there's that whole thing having to go back and forth of her being like, well, what do you mean look like I do? You mean like a knight? Because she's all decked out in her paladin gear and does not comprehend that he means because she looks half orcish. And it's just, it's really, basically any interaction that my party has had with Calvin has been hysterical because he's not very used to outsiders. He's a young stable hand, and they are the most extreme aspect of outsider that he has encountered in his time in that town. And it's just delightful to see them interact with them, and even more so for how much they appreciate interacting with him. So yeah, it's good times.
Oh, that's great. I'm gonna start going up to people going, ah.
Yeah, just walk up behind people and go, huh? You're basically taking the Link from Legend of Zelda approach to greeting people. It's just random shouts and murmurs. That's all it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's perfect.
It worked for him. That Legend of Zelda's been going on since, what, the 80s at least?
Yeah, exactly, you know?
Yeah, it's been working out all right for the last, God, that's 30 years or so.
It is. Yeah. It is 30 plus years.
Oh, let's all cry a little bit about that.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine.
We're getting old. It's okay.
Yeah, no. Everything hurts and I'm dying. It's fine.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Made it this far.
It's true. Very true. That we have.
That we have. Awesome. So if you could define your group in one word.
Oh, God.
What would it be?
One word.
Oh, just one.
Just one. Let me think.
It's a hard one.
Ragtag is technically two words, but...
Well, if you put a hyphen in it.
Yeah, hyphenate it.
Yeah, hyphenate it. That makes it one word, right?
You can make it a whole sentence with hyphens, right?
That's true.
I don't English. It's okay.
Nah.
It's only my first language. It's fine. Rambunctious, I think, is the best way to describe them, actually. They have so much spirit in them so far, and they're just so willing to, like, they don't, admittedly, because I'm a fledgling at DMing, like, there's a lot of moments where I get very, like, flustered or flubbed with what I want to say or how I want to articulate it. Again, because I'm so used to watching other, you know, tabletop gaming streams and seeing how intricately and articulately the dungeon masters in those games describe different settings or different things that are happening. And I'm just like, hey, some stuff's going down in this house over here. Do y'all want to check that out? And like, they're so ready to go in and do that without being like, well, what about this? And should we investigate and all this other stuff? So I really appreciate the fact that they're willing to just kind of roll with the fact that I'm not quite as developed as I would like to be in my storytelling. I'm really great at stuff written down. It's when I have to actually articulate it. I think it's a little bit of an uneasiness with public speaking. Again, another reason why I'm super glad there's no video right now, because I'd feel way more self-conscious if I could be seen. So, fair. Yeah. Totally. So yeah, I'm actually planning on we currently have our next session this upcoming Sunday, and I plan on playing the game while wearing my sunglasses just to see if maybe that slight separation helps me feel a little more comfortable with just talking to them. Mainly because I feel like if it's almost the object permanence of, if I can't see you, you can't see me, and that makes me feel more comfortable. So yeah, we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love mm-hmm. it.
Do try.
Oh, any other questions, Joe?
I don't know. Well, yeah, there was one I was thinking of earlier, and we got to joking about something. So, oh crap, what was it? Oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry. So, do you have, I really like some of the homebrew kind of rules and things that we go with, how we, I mean, I say rules. The rules is really loose, like really loose. But are there any cool homebrew things that you've incorporated along those lines, different mechanics or things like that?
I don't really know if there's anything that I would particularly describe as like super, super cool yet. And I think that's mostly because we're only like, this upcoming Sunday is going to be like our third session in. So it's really that it hasn't progressed far enough, mm-hmm. but I will say that one of my favorite like homebrew rules that we've incorporated into our campaign is the, how potions work. So like if you're in the middle of combat that like taking a potion is, I have to remember exactly how we have it set up, but we basically have it set up where like, taking a potion counts as an action. And if you wanted to like give a potion to someone else, like basically like force feed a potion to them, that would count as like a bonus action, as opposed to just being able to say, hey, I take this and just swig it basically. Because, you know, I'm trying to, I don't know. It makes sense in my head to do it that way.
It makes you pick your poison a little bit more.
Yeah, it also makes you pick the timing of things a little bit more, like figuring out whether or not, you know, do you have the time and ability to give yourself or one of your fellow party members that potion, or do you need to be focusing more on getting ready for your next attack or your next spell to cast, which is, I want to put that pressure on you, which is more important to you, saving your friend or defeating the monster? Dun, dun, dun.
In essence, one leads to the other.
Yes, exactly. So
hopefully,
but not everyone remembers that when they're panicking.
No, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that too. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that was part of it. It was me wanting to put that pressure on people, and also like the fact that that kind of creates a little bit more realism in the world, because that's logically like how you'd think that things like that would kind of have to go, as opposed to just, you know, saying that you do this in one move. Well, no, like you'd have to like take an action to like uncork it, and then you have to take another bit to, you know, actually drink it or to like feed it to someone else.
Yep.
Got to be timed out appropriately. So yeah.
Exactly.
So far that's one of the only ones that I can really think of. Oh, and I know that we made it a homebrew rule to not, I plan on using Unearthed Arcana for characters that I want to incorporate into the game. But I did not want anyone to use that as characters to create for PCs, because there's definitely some things in Unearthed Arcana where I'm just like, nope, I'm not going to try and follow what that is or the stats for that. Just pick something that's standard or in any of the extended books that are out there. Nothing, nothing ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah, I very much agree with that. I think that's what we went with our most recent campaign, was if it's printed in a book, go for it.
Good to go.
If not, no.
Yeah. And like, there's things that I've seen people talk about. Like, I've seen people that post online about playing like centaurs and things of that nature, which technically, like, depending on where you're looking at, can be... There's definitely like races out there that I'm like, okay, that could be a playable race and whatnot. But like for ones that are just like way out there, I think our one player that's actually from New York wanted to play an Unearthed Arcana character. I forget what the name of it is, but it's basically a character that, it's Radagast the Brown. It's a character that has just a swarm of hedgehogs that basically follows it around and does its bidding. And I'm just like, that sounds awesome. And I'd love that in real life. In game though, it's not going to happen. So please pick something else.
Right. As a game master, I don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have to sit here while you roll for all of your hedgehogs and what damage they're going to be doing while playing. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have that happen.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It's adorable, but we're not having that happen.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us about your awesome bard and your new homebrew campaign that you have going on.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Of course. So much fun. Mm-hmm. So if people want to hear more about your awesome bard, invite you to bring your bard somewhere, or hear more about the homebrew campaign you have going on, or anything else that you're up to, where can they find you?
If you go onto the Twitter, you can find me at Glamour Bomb. I believe it's at Glamour Bomb Live, and it's Glamour Bomb Gaming. So, you know, just look for that on Twitter and you should find me. And that's where I post the most of my gaming stuff, because that's kind of, I originally created it for the game that I was a part of that was being streamed, and then it's just kind of stayed even after that disbanded, because now I've met so many people in the D&D and tabletop gaming communities that I'm like, well, I guess we'll keep this around, because I like interacting with these people and seeing what they're up to, and it's a great resource for inspiration for a lot of stuff. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so come check me out if you want to. Come by, say hi. You know, don't leave mean messages, whatever.
No, definitely don't. No. Yeah. None of that.
No. I mean, do, but just be prepared for my wrath. That's all. Oh, sure. Okay. 5'3" of pure fury. It's more like, ah.
That's how we say hello.
Yes.
Exactly.
See, we're learning already. The more you know.
The more you know.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Well, thank you again.
Yes, thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again. I appreciate it.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast, or check out our website, mageproductions.com. On the website, we have free resources to help you with your game, as well as cool things that you can purchase to help support our show, including original Mage Adventures set in our homebrew world.
or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors for all of the awesome people that help us bring you this show. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. Hit Dice is a meticulously edited real play of 5th edition D&D podcast that has amazing audio, a super fun cast. So if you haven't listened yet, you should.
Also, Kraken Dice, some of the best dice around. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, KrakenDice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at KrakenDice so that you can keep track of when they are going to release new dice, because some of them sell out stupidly quick, and if you don't get them, you just don't get them. So go check them out there. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE. And get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off? Just keep in mind, you can not use that with any other discounts. So, you know, pick whichever one makes more sense for you.
And of course, last but not least, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. They have like phone cases,
mouse pads,
and speakers and sweatshirts. Yeah, it's really absolutely fantastic. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything and put it all in your cart, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.
Check them out.
Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps me write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.